Will you pray with me just for a moment, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do any of you have one of those credit cards that builds up points depending on how much you spend? You know, I have one, and my latest statement says I have 120,839 points. And I figured that entitles me to 16 toaster ovens, 8 Hoover vacuum cleaners, or one round trip airfare to the West Coast with my wife. And I've got to tell you, I haven't ever taken advantage of any of them. I guess I've got to get with the program. You know, there's reward programs just seem to be everywhere today. I have a Staples reward card here. Maybe some of you have that. I use that to save a few pennies on printer ink, paper and stuff like that. Well, all that got me thinking about a different kind of reward points. And I think our focus as Christians is so often centered on the wonderful good news of our salvation through faith in Christ. And it is absolutely marvelous news. It's the cornerstone. It's the centerpiece of our Christian faith. But we are called not only to be believers in Christ, but disciples as well. And while it's true that God doesn't keep score about our eternal salvation, we are told that we will be rewarded based on our discipleship in this world. You know, there are over 50 passages in the Bible that talk about rewards. Some of them about rewards for this life, some about rewards that we are going to be promised in heaven. You know, Dolores read us just a bit of a passage just a moment ago where Jesus said, I have my reward with me, and I will give according to what each person has done. We could find almost the identical words in the book of Matthew, in the book of Romans, in the book of Ephesians or Corinthians or the prophet Jeremiah. Well, it's probably fair to say that most of us are just pretty busy tending to everyday life. So why share a message about heavenly rewards? Seems a bit abstract, and I think most of us hope it's going to be a long time away. I think the answer is that the Bible tells us that what we do each and every day will have a huge effect on what our heavenly rewards will be. Now, we've got to make a distinction between our eternal salvation and heavenly rewards, because they're really two completely different things. The Bible teaches us that our eternal salvation is a free gift of grace, a gift from God based on our faith in Christ. And there's nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. No amount of good works will ever be enough. It's faith, not works, that open the door to eternal life. You know, the Apostle Paul says it this way in Ephesians. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your doing. It's a free gift of grace from God, not of works. And then he goes on to say why. So no one will be able to boast. And the flip side of that, the corollary, as you will, is once we've accepted Christ, nothing can rob us of that salvation. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I give them eternal life. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. You can read that in the book of John. So that's salvation. Okay, how about rewards? The Bible tells us that we will be rewarded based on our discipleship in this world. So the richness we experience, apart from just the profound beauty of being with Christ, the richness we experience in heaven is directly linked to what you and I do right here. And it's not through good works by themselves that God will reward us, but good works that we do in the name of Christ. Because God's purpose is to glorify His Son through our works. You've heard the passage where it said, "Let your light so shine that people seeing your good works will give glory to your Father in heaven." Well, that's what Jesus said. But it's the Father's good pleasure to bestow that glory upon His Son. And our motivations are also key. You know, if we do something kind of to benefit ourselves, that's one thing. If we do it as a humble act of discipleship, that's quite another thing. And when we're kind and generous, you know, do we expect a thank you note or some public recognition or maybe the hope that that favor will be somehow returned? Well, once again, Jesus has something to say about that. He says, when you give, don't announce it with trumpets like the hypocrites do so that they can be honored by men. Because truly, I tell you, when you do that, you've already received your reward in full. There'll be nothing extra for you waiting. From time to time, I listen to Dr. David Jeremiah. Maybe some of you are familiar with him. He pastors a church in California. He's the author of a number of books. And he's got a popular daily radio program called Turning Point. Well, I just happened to be listening to him one day when he was sharing this illustration. He's talking about two women whose homes were in France, but they came to New York City on a short-term visa. They both found jobs. They both found apartments. One of the women spent most of her money furnishing her apartment and decorating her apartment with artwork. The other woman furnished her apartment as well, but she sent a sizable portion of her paycheck back to her home bank in France. Well, it came time for their visas to expire, and they both returned home. The woman who had furnished her apartment so beautifully had to leave all of those furnishings behind. And then David Jeremiah said this: you and I are either moving toward our treasure or away from it. He said, we're all on short-term visas, aren't we? And then he said, doesn't it make more sense to send our treasure ahead where it will be waiting for us when we arrive home? It made me think. You can raise your hands on this one. How many of you have ever seen a luggage rack on a hearse? Maybe a U-Haul trailer? So how can you and I send treasure ahead where it'll be waiting for us? And I think it's not that much different than the way we make deposits into our earthly bank accounts. As small as each one of those deposits might be, they have a way of adding up over time, don't they? I had a dear friend and mentor, the late Reverend Esther Vidola. She was a congregational minister for over 60 years before she died. And she would often tell me that so often the opportunities to store up treasure in heaven come in the everyday simple things in life. Maybe a genuine smile, a kind word. Think about what Dolores just read us when Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water to someone in my name, truly you will not lose your reward. There are lots of other examples in the Bible. Think about what Matthew tells us in chapter 25. You know, he's got, this is at kind of the end time, and he's, you may remember, he's got two groups of people, one on his right hand and one on his left, and he turns to the people on his right and he says, you know, I was hungry and you gave me some food. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the people there are saying, when did we ever do that to you? And he said, truly I tell you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these members of my family, you did it to me. There are countless everyday ways. There are countless everyday ways, aren't there, that we can just store up treasure in heaven. Now about now, some of you may be thinking, you know, all this talk about reward points and storing up treasure in heaven, it's making me feel a little uncomfortable. You know, it just seems a little self-centered and it seems selfish and maybe even a little superficial. I mean, you know, just having the gift of salvation through Christ is so beautiful. I just don't want anything more. You know, I just want to sit there. I want to be there with Jesus. I don't really want to receive any more rewards. I'm more than happy just to sit in the back of heaven's bus. And you know, sitting in the back of the bus ain't a bad thing. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us it's God's good pleasure to reward his children. And what God is rewarding us for is not so much our good behavior here on earth, but something far more important. You and I are God's workers. We're God's arms and legs. And God has chosen to reward those who serve him. Not for the sake of rewarding them alone, but because you and I are part of a much larger team, a much larger effort to move God's cosmic plan forward one inch at a time in the time and the place right here that God has given us. It's a profound thing when you think about it that God has chosen to use us in this way. He certainly doesn't have to, doesn't need us. And it's a matter of profound grace that God has chosen to reward each of us in proportion to our efforts. So what's the takeaway here? What can we do with all this? I think maybe it comes in the form of a simple question that goes something like this. Does my agenda for today, include intentionally storing up some treasure in heaven? Or is it focused almost exclusively on things that I will ultimately have to leave behind? What if we cultivated the habit of asking ourselves the very first thing before all those daily things grab a hold of our day? And then as the day progressed, intentionally do what it takes to make that deposit, however small it might be. You know what I've found? And I bet you have too. Whether those little deposits we make are something that we've planned out ahead of time or if they just happen spontaneously, so often they turn out to be the most satisfying, meaningful thing that happens that whole day long. And the more we do that, the more those opportunities just seem to appear. It almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's addictive in a way, in a very positive way, in the sense that you have this wonderful sense of peace that you're living in God's will. Now, there's a parallel between earthly savings and heavenly savings, I think. You know, financial advisors will tell us that a good savings plan begins with taking whatever income we have or our paycheck and putting a portion of that away first, right? Rather than waiting to see what's left over. We put our heavenly priorities first on the top of our priority list. It can help from getting lost in all the myriad of stuff that's going to bombard us every day. You know, I think the reality is we're all headed toward that day when we're going to see Christ face to face. going to be a day like no other. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? You know, I think it's as though God created us in such a way that our whole life is but a preamble for that day. Our whole life is just headed in that direction. The years of our lives are passing by so quickly, aren't they? And then suddenly it's graduation time. Time to go home. Did you ever think about what Christ might say to you? The Bible says that we're going to stand in front of Him to give an account. That can be a scary thing. But it's not a scary thing. Because as we said in our opening prayer, for those who are in Christ, that day will be an award ceremony, not a judgment. For in Christ, all of our sins have been put away once and for all. Jesus isn't going to spend time rehashing everything He's already taken care of. All that is going to be left are the good things we have done. Good things we have done. You'll hear Jesus say the most wonderful words you've ever heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. And behind Him, you're going to see treasure stored up waiting for you. Treasure beyond imagination. All those little deposits that you made over a lifetime, accumulated, compounded, and transformed into heavenly rewards that your Father is pleased to give you. So where is your most precious treasure to be found? As David Jeremiah said, are you and I moving toward it or away from it? Are you and I accumulating it here or sending it ahead? Amen.